Fine to be back. And I've just looked at the intimations, and the second one I see is a warm welcome back to me. Isn't that lovely? Thank you all very, very much. So it is so good to be back, even though it's raining. It's a bit of a relief. It was very hot in Canada. I think all the intimations are as printed. And I have got four postcards in my hand, one from other people, which is sitting at home because I forgot to bring it, and two from me, which are sitting at home because I forgot to bring them. But I have got pictures on the overhead, which I'll show you in place of a postcard. But I'll start with the ones I've got in my hand. It's lovely that folk are sending us postcards again. This one's from Bardolino. Hi all, at Bardolino on Lake Garda in Italy for a week's holiday, enjoying the gelato, olives and vino. See you all soon, love, Jean. So that's lovely, thank you. Then Amsterdam. Dear friends, we're having a wonderful holiday in Holland. Weather has been beautiful. Visited Amsterdam, Maastricht, where we were privileged to attend the André Rieu. Is that the right pronunciation? Concert. And Antwerp, great food and company. Love to all, Clark, Janice, Stuart, and Audrey. Lovely, thank you. And the Green Eastrigs. Today we visited Gretna to join in with our lunch club friends of the Richard Greenhouse Centre before travelling on to Eastrigs to see and hear all about the Devil's Porridge exhibition, explaining about women's work in World War I. Weather great from Brayhead Lunch and Leisure Club. And as usual, the Brayhead Club get all over the place because I've also got J.M. Barrie's birthplace. Saturday, we traveled to Dunkeld where Beatrix Potter visited for holidays, seeing memories of all her animals, then traveling on to Kirriemuir to visit J.M. Barrie's birthplace, the author of many books, including Peter Pan. High tea at the Thrums Hotel before home, weather good from Brayhead Lunch and Leisure Club. Wonderful, thank you. So if we could have some pictures up, I bring greetings from a church called Trinity Church in Kanata in Ottawa, which is where I was visiting. And it's a beautiful, big, modern church building. The lighting's not awfully good, but that's a picture of me standing behind their communion table. And they all send their greetings to all of you, which I thought was lovely. The next picture, they've got some lovely hangings, and this is their pulpit fall. Somebody's very gifted at kind of quilting, I think it's made of quilting, but I thought that was just beautiful. The more I look at it, the more I see in it. And then I think the next picture is a cross stitch which was hanging on the wall, and again I thought that was lovely. I have called you by name, you are mine. And I can't remember, is there one last one or is that it? That's it. There's one more. Oh yeah. Sorry, I've still got jet lag, the brain's not here. We went into a wee place called Carp one day and went for a walk, and round the back of a church we found these raised beds, and there was a couple of people watering all the fruit and vegetables that was growing abundantly there. And the church has this community garden. So I mean, here in Forth we've got a community garden, but it's not directly attached to the church. But this one was, and they said all the surplus food goes to their local food bank, so that the food bank gets fresh food deliveries. But the other thing that they told us was they were out in the evening because they're having a problem with deer and occasionally bears coming and helping themselves. So lots of different experiences while I've been away. But as I say, it's really, really good to be home. And lovely to see all you smiling faces again. And we are here, as people are all over the world, gathering together in our churches to worship God. So I thought we'd start with words from Psalm 89, which really sum up what church is about. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. The heavens praise your wonders, Lord, your faithfulness too, in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies can compare with the Lord? Who is like the Lord among the heavenly beings? Praise be to the Lord forever. Amen and amen. God is love, and we are all his beloved children. We can only love one another because he first loved us, and that perfect love drives out all fear. And I realize I haven't warned Audrey, but you can usually manage to play happy birthday. A wee bird told me that Leslie has her birthday today. So let's all sing happy birthday to Leslie. Anybody else got a birthday today in case I miss anybody out? Nobody that's admitting it anyway, but a happy birthday to Leslie.
Birthday to you, happy birthday.
Have a wonderful day, Leslie. And our first hymn, we're just singing the first three verses because we're not celebrating communion today, is hymn 510, Jesus Calls Us Here to Meet Him. Now, in the absence of children, I'm delighted to say that Jim Sinclair is going to come and share his testimony this morning. Jim.
I remember the first time I was ever asked to give my testimony, and I was terrified. But then a couple of weeks ago, I was listening to the speaker at the men's breakfast in Curlewick, And he was saying that testimony is telling the story of you, how you came. And when you tell your story, you add to God's story. At the age of 13, almost 13 anyway, a tragedy occurred in my life. That was the death of my youngest sister. I was terrified. It was the first time death had really touched the family where I remember. But there was a man who I knew called Jim Hardy who ran what was called Teen Challenge in Lanark at the time. And Jim was very influential in my life. And he said something to me which made me think about where I was going in life. And about 5 weeks after my sister died, I read in Ephesians 2, verse 8, and funnily enough, one of the readings this morning follows on from this. For by grace you saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do works which God prepared in advance for us to do. After that, reading that verse, I began to realise that I had to change in my life. Because, okay, I was brought up in a Christian family, but then I realised that wasn't just good enough. Then at the age of 16, almost 17, I went to sea. I joined the British Merchant Navy. Best 19 years of my life. But when I was at training school, one of the instructors, a man called Pete Ralph, fantastic man of God, he helped me to realise that I was going to face a lot of temptations when I was at sea. And I realised even then that when I was at sea, that was the easiest time of my Christian life. Because although the temptations were there, but being at sea and seeing God's splendour in the oceans, I was amazed and kept me close to God. Then I came ashore and worked in hotels for a short period of time, and that was my downfall. The temptations in the hotel trade were even worse than the temptations at sea. And I've got to admit, I didn't live a godly life for a long time. Then I tried running my own business, and that wasn't a success either. It failed because I was spending too much time in the business and not enough time with God. And then I moved to Forth with Marlon, my wife. And as well, living in Manse Road, Phil Young, I was talking to him one day and he says, why don't you start coming to church? And I says, but Phil, I've got out of the habit of going to church. And he says, you can come along, see what you feel. I came and sat over there with Mr. Pillins. And I enjoyed that first Sunday back in church after many years away. And now I'm pleased to say that I continue to serve God in whatever way He wants me to. And I'm hopefully looking to do some volunteer work with the British Sailors. Well, it's no longer the British Sailors Society, the Sailor Society, visiting ships, to continue to witness for God in that field. Thank you.
Let's have a word of prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, We thank you for stories, for the courage that Jim has had to share his story with us this morning. We thank you that you take our failures, every bit as much as our successes, and weave them together into the story of our lives as they become your lives. Lord, we thank you so much for people like Phil Young, who have been so instrumental in bringing people to faith by living authentic Christian lives. And Lord, let us say together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The next hymn is hymn 358, The Great Love of God, but we'll be singing it to the tune Stowie, which you can find in 230 if anyone wants to follow the music as well. But the words are at 358. There's a lovely hymn which starts off, "In Christ there is no east or west, in him no south or north, but one great fellowship of love throughout the whole wide earth." And that attracted me because, of course, our church logo, we have a compass with north, south, east, west, and it was looking at Forth's logo that I realized that north, east, west, south spells news. And of course, we preach the gospel, the good news. But also at this time of going on holiday, folk have been going off to the north, the south, the east, and the west. So this prayer that I'm going to read is based on the points of the compass. Let's pray. Loving God, there is no east or west where Christ's call cannot be heard to draw us to this fellowship of love. There is no place of brokenness in which we cannot see signs of his healing touch. There is no south or north, no dwelling place of darkness from which we cannot escape into the light of his love. There is no home, no circumstance from which we cannot get away, no road we cannot travel, no journey of life we cannot pass through to reach that place where Christ-like souls are one in him. No east or west, no south or north, no place of failure and dejection from which we cannot rise to be blessed at your mercy seat. Ever welcoming God, in this house of your dwelling, where true community is found with our brothers and sisters of faith, in the presence of your love, in the wholeness of Christ's acceptance, in the warmth of the Spirit's blessing, we rejoice in our oneness. We give thanks for your mercy. We embrace fullness of life in this new beginning. We thank you for inviting us home. All-encompassing God, we pray that our fellowship here will be a mirror of your kingdom's grace, that our worship here will be an echo of heavenly praise, that our healing here will be a symbol of redemptive power, that our closeness here will be a sign of the real unity of the people of God, that our thanksgiving here will be a mark of true communion with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I'll now invite Miriam to come forward and read from the Bible for us. Our first reading, as Jim mentioned, is from Ephesians chapter 2, and Miriam will read verses 11 to 22. And then our gospel reading is Mark chapter 6, verses 30 to 34 and 53 to 56.
Jew and Gentile reconciled through Christ. Therefore, remember that formerly you are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, who once were far away, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace for those who were near. For though through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together, and rises, become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region and carried the sick of mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went into villages, towns or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. Amen. May God bless this reading to his holy word.
Thanks, Miriam. Our hymn before the sermon is a very well-known one, hymn 528, Make Me a Channel of Your Peace. Let's pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts and minds be pleasing in your sight, for you are our rock, our redeemer, and our friend. Amen. He, that is Jesus, himself, is our peace. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. This is what Jesus said to his disciples when they returned and reported to Jesus about their outreach mission, for he had sent them out two by two in the passage before the one we read. But so many people were coming and going, they didn't even have a chance to eat. And sometimes ministry, for all of us, feels like that. You all know what it's like to help at the church shop or at the guild fairs. It does feel as if you never even get a chance to stop and eat. And Jesus knows, and he understands that. He knows we need peace. And the disciples found some peace on board the boat. But when they landed, the crowds had followed. Now, this kind of peace, the peace and quiet, restful sort, is always short-lived. What Jesus brings is a much deeper, wider, richer form of peace, more accurately described as right relationships, the result of reconciliation with God, with ourselves, with our neighbours, and with the whole of creation. Now, it seems odd sometimes that our reading today misses out the wonderful stories of the feeding of the 5,000 and that of Jesus walking on the water. The reading picks up the narrative after these two miracles, when they had yet again crossed over and landed at Gennesaret, showing the framework within which those miracles were possible. And as they landed, again the crowds ran to Jesus, begging him to heal the sick. I see three important points for us to learn from this. Firstly, Jesus commanded his disciples to go out, and that means us as well. He didn't command his disciples to tell people to come into church, and they didn't expect people to come to them. They went out, and the symbolism of crossing the Sea of Galilee speaks of the inclusive nature of this going out. It involves going to different places and different people. To quote Tom Gordon, all can be brought close to God, regardless of ethnicity, gender, orientation, circumstances. There is no division between insiders and outsiders, the chosen and the rejected, different ministries, social circumstances. All are welcome in this place. And secondly, Jesus never actually went searching for people to preach to or to heal. He simply walked and sailed, and wherever he went, people came to him, seeking his healing power. And I believe that was down to his authenticity. He was and is completely who he is. No mask, no ego. He is just through and through Jesus. As one person once said, if he was a stick of rock and you broke him in half, it would say Jesus all the way through. One of the many gifts of this parish is that I can walk around much of the parish and meet people by chance. We all can, and I hope that we are all learning, for it's taken me a while to learn as well, from Jesus, that we should take time to listen to anyone we meet, not just the people we know and who are like us. And then the third point is the importance of taking rest, something that this country's not particularly good at. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Surely this must be the best definition of a holiday. For Jesus himself is our peace. Now, Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus was written from prison and addressed to the Gentiles, and it's about unity, about peace, about shalom. It's helpful to remember the Hebrew shalom, although it's translated into English as peace. Shalom has a much wider meaning. Shalom means not only a lack of conflict, not only a lack of loud noise, but a positive, a right relationship between God and man, between neighbors, and between God, man, and creation. As it's written earlier in Ephesians, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. That is what leads to real peace, shalom. And the focus for Paul was bringing the Jews and the Gentiles together in Christ. And how desperately sad that some 2,000 years later, there's still conflict between Jews and Christians. Paul emphasizes that the physical circumcision, which the Jews considered vitally important, and they still do, is merely something done in the body by human hands, And therefore, Paul says, it's far less important than what Jesus Christ achieved on the cross. So I believe we need to think what there is within our faith, within our church, which we believe to be vitally important, non-negotiable, yet which is actually far, far less important than what Jesus Christ achieved on the cross. Once we can identify our blind spots, our prejudices, we'll be in a better position to go out and share the love of God with other people, with people who are on the other side, people who are different to us. And we will then be in a better position to simply walk alongside them. During my holiday in Canada, I learned a little about the Indigenous American Indians. Their beliefs and customs are so rich in respect of all living things, a huge respect for everything that lives. Sadly, when the Europeans first discovered Canada, they misunderstood the Indigenous people and as a result treated them very badly. Now, thankfully, there is much more respect between the many different people who inhabit this vast and beautiful country. I was sad at first to hear one lady in the church tell me, "We have learned to live with the Indigenous Indians. We put up with the French. But now we're being faced with all these immigrants." But then she went on. She said, "I'm not racist. But, you know, it's difficult adjusting to change." How very true. But as Paul explained, because Jesus has broken down the walls of hostility, we can have real unity with people who are not like us. We need to remember that as Gentiles ourselves, for few, if any of us here are Jewish, in the past, we were separate from Christ. We were the foreigners. Only now, because of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we are fellow citizens, fellow members of God's household. We are God's family. This stone building, beautiful as it is, filled with memories and prayers, in a wonderfully central location within our village. But it is far less important than what Jesus Christ achieved on the cross. Paul describes how we all, the members of God's household, are built together. And I quote here, "Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." Tom, I know, loves that great hymn, "I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together." It's one of your favorites, isn't it, Tom? And it's so true. For Christ himself is our peace. He invites us to come into this stone building, for this is a good, safe place, a quiet place, where we can come away with Jesus and get some rest. And when we invite others to come and see, we must do so with hearts overflowing with God's peace, his joy, and his love. As I'm sure Phil Young did all those years before. We mustn't invite anyone simply to be another bum on a pew. And when we start walking around living our lives authentically, as Christ did, loving everyone unconditionally, being prepared to stop and listen, make time for other people, then folk will see Jesus in us and will want to find out more, will want to get to know Jesus. Then it's time to invite them to come and meet the rest of our church family, whether in the church building, in the halls, or wherever we are. My daughter came to faith while she was living and working in New Zealand. She met a lovely group of young men and women who treated her extremely well. They went out of their way to invite her to barbecues, to parties, into their homes, and even to their weekend cottages by the sea. Only once she was really happy and secure in this wonderful community did they start to speak openly about their church. And then they invited her along. And I love that pattern. So wherever we are and whatever we're doing, Christ is living within us, and he himself is our peace, our shalom. Amen. We now continue our worship with our offerings. Let's pray. Loving, living God, all that we have and all that we are, especially our faith, is a gift from you. So, Lord, we ask you to use us and to accept and use these, our offerings, for the growth of your kingdom, for the spreading of your love, here in Forth and throughout the world. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. To lead into our prayers for others, we're going to sing hymn 721, which really is a prayer for others in the form of a hymn. We lay our broken world in sorrow at your feet. Hymn 721.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Ever-present God, you promise us that there is no place we can go where you will not be with us, no prayers we can offer that you will not hear, no stumbling words or random thoughts that will not make sense to you, no empty silence. We are so grateful for that, especially when our prayers are dry or ill-formed or vainly repetitive or inarticulate. And yet you call us to come into fellowship from time to time to gather all of that together. Clever prayers and ill-conceived ideas, jumbled phrases and inadequate grammar, silent yearnings and barren deserts of weeping. In one place and as one people, we lay it all before you, knowing that you will hear what we cannot begin to express, believing that you will make sense of what we cannot fully understand. Listening God, we pray for your church in its fragility and in its strength, in its nurture and in its mission, in its pilgrimage and in its establishment, in its traditions and in its newness, in Scotland and in Canada, that it may continue to be what it has always sought to be, a light in the darkest of places, a healing for broken lives, a hope for a searching world. Understanding God, we pray for our nation, giving thanks for example of goodness, and weeping with those who weep in their poverty, alienation, and despair. Looking with admiration at examples of righteousness and condemning evil in whatever form we find it. Ever watchful God, we pray for our world in all its tension and striving, wonder and questioning, beauty and brokenness. Where there is rejection, we pray that the embrace of acceptance might be offered. Where there is isolation, we pray that the handshake of understanding might be given. Where there are barriers, we pray that the sledgehammers of justice might beat upon the walls. Where there is pain, we pray that the tenderness of healing might be known. Where there is violence, we pray that the beauty of peace might herald a new dawn. Where there is hopelessness, we pray that the vision of oneness might be a pointer to your kingdom. And we pray today for the families and friends of Irene Meikle and Agnes Allen. Attentive God, we pray for those we love, who, with little encouragement or prompting, pop into our minds and fill our prayers with their circumstances, our yearnings with their cries, our compassion with their tears, our joy with their smiles, because we know them so well and love them so much. God, who made us in your very image, we pray for ourselves, for strength on our journey of faith, for love in our expressions of service, for healing in body, mind, and spirit. And we give thanks that even now, as we pray for others, many others are praying for us. Bless us now with your touch of tenderness. Help us not only build, but also be a house, your house, where all are welcome. A house where your love through Jesus is revealed in time and space. And all for your sake and for your glory. Amen. Let us build a house, hymn 198, where all are welcome.
Thank you.
So as we go out into the week ahead, may we all know that Christ is our peace. And may we share that peace and that love with everyone we meet. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and remain with each and every one of us, those we love, those who love us, and those we struggle to love, both now and forevermore.